And God said, "Let there be light," and light was made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I like a dark Holy Saturday, personally, and I'm charmed whenever Mother Nature gets into a liturgical mood, as it were. For example, at the second lesson, I don't know if you noticed, it was rather dark, but I was going on and on about Noah and Noah's wife and his sons and his sons' wives all getting along with all the animals into the ark, and the ark being set up with little apartments. And I had just reached the point where it had rained for 40 days and the highest peaks of the mountains were covered with 15 cubits of water, when there came the most refreshing dew into the church. That rarely happens in Cincinnati. Usually, especially in springtime, if it's going to rain, it gets heavy and dark and almost unbearable. But today, well before it rained, the coming of the water was announced by this sweet fragrance and a refreshing breeze. That breeze, of course, is emblematic of God the Holy Ghost. But I thought it stood for water wanting to get in on the blessing. You see, on Holy Saturday, our Lord makes all things new. And so, first of all, the elements of the earth are blessed. So we go outside the church and we bless the fire, for there must be new light. And then later the deacon will sing to us about how our Lord is the sun which knows no setting. And then finally at a certain point in that beautiful preface of praise, the servers go throughout the church to light all the candles. And so the light slowly comes to us. And then finally when the stories are done and the prophecies are concluded, we go back and water gets its turn. And that is blessed as well. I like a dark Holy Saturday. It reminds us of the lost in history origins of this most solemn rite and ancient mass of our church's year, taking us all the way back to before there was even a divine office, when the Christians and then the Catholics of early Rome would do their all-nighters, the panouches in the Greek, and they would pray and listen to the sacred scriptures and chant the litanies over and over and over again and baptize the catechumens. It reminds us of the origins of the church. Now, at one time, the vigil was prolonged all night long until the first light of dawn. Mother Church mercifully allows us to work by daylight now, because as you've seen, there's a lot of work that needs done during this Easter vigil. But I like a dark Holy Saturday for its mystical or symbolic reason, the light casting out the darkness and the work being done by Jesus and Mary on this Holy Saturday. Our blessed Savior has descended into hell. And there he says, we sang that last night, "I'm going to close you down, hell. Morsus tuus ero inferme." Then he goes over to limbo, to one side, and he visits, it's a shadowy, dark kind of place. And he visits the fathers from the Old Testament. You can be sure he seeks out his own father, Saint Joseph, first of all, for a kindly embrace and a little talk. Then he proceeds to preach to them. Saint Peter will tell us this on Friday, Easter Friday. He proceeds to preach to them and to those who were lost in the flood, because for a while they wouldn't believe, Saint Peter says, and now they are saved, yet so as by water, as are we all. The water has been blessed the font of baptism is open and the gates of hell have been closed down by our Lord's terrific victory. Our Blessed Lady, what work was she doing this day? Oh, a very important one indeed. She passed most of the night and the day in fasting and in prayer. Emmerich tells us that the upper room had another large room attached to it, which had sort of what Noah built in the ark, little apartments. And there the holy women were, and some of them were fasting in sackcloth and ashes for the terrible thing that had happened to Jerusalem. And our Blessed Lady sent St. John to fetch the apostles one by one to have a little talk with each one of them. And they were sheepish. They looked upon John in a different light. He had been the kid. He was the youngest. And now, he's the one who stayed with the Lord. And all the other ones, they didn't make Good Friday services. Never mind. John gets them and they go to Our Lady. And Our Lady talks to them in such a kind way as to encourage them. But still, their eyes are darkened. Even John doesn't yet understand the scriptures that our Lord must be risen from the dead. That's why, little detail, did you see it? The acolytes don't carry candles of the gospel on Holy Saturday. Our Lord is risen. Death shall no more have domain over him. And yet, at the same time, we are not quite to Easter yet. Our Blessed Lady is honored in Spanish-speaking countries, last night and today in particular, by a beautiful title for her sorrows. She's called La Soledad, Our Lady the Solitude, Our Lady the Solitary One, because she alone, talk about light, was Our Lady of the Light, a living candle there in the upper room set upon a great candlestick to illumine all of those who wept and who loved and who sought, but who did not yet believe. Our Lady was the sanctuary lamp of the Catholic Church from Good Friday's tenebrae to the lauds of Easter morning and his glorious resurrection. Why do we keep, and you know this, don't you, Saturday as Mary's Day? Indeed, all this Lent on the Sundays, we've been talking about the five reasons of reparation which our Lord requested of us in making that wonderful First Friday promise to come true to us, the first Saturdays rather, by meditating and honoring with a communion of reparation Our Lady's Immaculate Heart to make up for those five offenses. Saturday is her day. That goes back to Holy Saturday, of course, for the reason I've just now given. It was a great English Benedictine monk, Alcuin, who was, they say, Charlemagne's school teacher, in effect. It was Alcuin who gathered together the masses and the devotions in the Missal and the votive masses and set aside that Saturday should have the votive mass of Our Lady, as whenever possible, we still sing today. And in our church, we always sing the anthem of Our Lady. It changes with the season on Saturday to remember this is her day. Saturday for Our Lady and Sunday for our Lord. About 200 years after Alcuin, he was about the 8th century, by the 10th, 11th century, the church was in dire straits indeed. Not so bad as she is today. That has never happened in the history of the church. And when you listen to the Lamentations of Tenebrae, you have to think with sorrow to where we are come into such a place. Thank God for that lamp on the lampstand, our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Light, the Faithful Virgin. The church was in such a state that another great Benedictine, abbot and cardinal, Peter Damian, doctor of the church, was raised up. And one of the chief means that he used to lift up the morals of the clergy, which had sunk very low and of the faithful, which were lower yet, was by promoting a devotion to Mary and Saturday as her day. And it is due chiefly to St. Peter Damian that still today, every Saturday is hers. And Sunday is the day of our Lord, the Dies Dominica, the day of the resurrection. That's why even in Lent, we don't fast on a Sunday. And those two go together, don't they? Saturday and Sunday, Mary and Jesus, our Lord's faithfulness, his glory, his triumph, and Our Lady's quiet and strong faith and her great love for us, even though sometimes we do stumble and fall in the dark. I wish you all a very blessed Easter and remind you then to pass this day at least a little bit with Our Lady. It is her day, Holy Saturday. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.